Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
All right. How are we doing this morning? We have some energy with all the rain and stuff. Okay. Maybe, maybe not. Hang on, my notes aren't coming up. There we go. Okay, here's how I want to start this morning, and I want to get your brain thinking and start to kind of process, okay, is this me, is this not me, what is it? What are you passionate about? What wires your brain? What things do you do in your life that you're like, yes, like that is me, that's who I am, that's how I would describe myself. Like I do those things. What are the things that like have always just clicked in your brain? Like, yeah, that's kind of just who I am. That's kind of makes up a part of me. What are the things you're passionate about? The things that you could talk all day about? Feels like that missing piece that maybe like you don't know what it is until you do it and then you got it. What could that be? For me, growing up, it was sports, all right? I did a lot of different sports. I played basketball, I played golf, I played tennis, I played some volleyball. I love spikeball, okay? All of these different things that like fueled this like missing piece of like I loved competition, I wanted to beat someone at something, all right? I wanted to be around people, I wanted to work as a team. Sports was my thing. Okay, if I were to ask you, what would that be? Some of you probably have in your mind like, okay, this would be an important thing that would describe myself, something I'm passionate about, something I would talk about a lot. But as with anything, when you grow up, you learn things that you aren't really passionate about and that don't really wire your brain in the same way and that you don't really vibe with all the time. And for some reason, for me, it was music. Anything musical. And here's a description for you. People think I'm weird. I will drive in my car for hours in just silence. And I don't even realize it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should turn on some music. Right? People will sit in my car, like, be in there for 5 minutes. They're like, you gonna play anything? I'm like, oh, didn't realize it. Right? Some of you guys, you think that's insane. How in the world could you go 30 seconds in the car without listening to something? All right, but here's a picture of my childhood in terms of music. For some reason, it just never really clicked with me. It's not that I don't like music, all right? I'll listen to music. I love worship music, and I love coming here and singing praises to God. Like, I love all of that stuff, but for some reason, it just never super clicked with me. For example, growing up, my mom was like, Zach, you've got to learn how to play the piano. Okay, you've got a piano family. Both of my sisters play piano. My mom played piano. My grandma played piano. Probably my great-grandma played piano. All these piano players. All right, I sit down to practice for the first time the piano, and my mom starts going through, okay, like here's where the A is. All right, you go ahead and try it. I'm like, okay. All right, and then, yeah, here's like how a scale works. And then she gets into the whole, like, sometimes when you're playing, you have to, like, cross the hand. And that's when I stood up. I'm like, no, I'm out. Never mind. All right, I made it through half of a piano lesson. All right, I tried to pick up guitar in college. All right, I quit after 2 days because it just hurts my fingers too much. So that wasn't for, and then I stopped playing trombone. Played trombone all through junior high. Stopped playing trombone. Partly because I was just done with it, but also because the high school teacher heard that I was going to be quitting the trombone, and he proceeded to come up to me like and confront me in the hallway and say, "You are a waste of talent." And I'm like, "I don't want to play for you then," right? And so for some reason, it didn't click with me, which is okay. For some of you, how many of you guys are like, "It clicks for me, music like that." That's like my path, like, that's fine. How many of you guys are like, sports, that clicks with me? That like, right? So there's different things that happen, but how many of you guys are like, yeah, music, musical instruments, that doesn't really click with me? Okay? And how many of you guys are like, sports, ew, that doesn't click with me. Right? There are things that we're passionate about and things that we're not. So what's the point with that? Why is that? Because I think there's a truth to finding the things that touch us. Things that just make sense. Because I think God uniquely wires us in ways that we're like, yeah, that fits me. I'm passionate about that. That makes sense to me, but it also shows that there are things in my life that don't really stick, that they don't really hit that chord in my life that it's like, I don't really relate to that. And I bring all of that around to this question. What's that relationship, that striking the chord, that making sense, that, yeah, that hits my life in a really real way? What's that relationship like between you and God? How does that relationship hit you? Does it touch you in a way that nothing else can? Does that relationship with God in your life, with Jesus, does that just make sense? Does it fill a missing piece in your life that you wouldn't have otherwise? Or maybe for some of you, you're like, it hasn't really stuck with me. It hasn't completely made sense yet. Can I suggest this morning that Jesus, if you stick with this, if you follow him, if you choose to understand what he can do in your life, that he will fill any missing piece in your life. That at some point you're going to come to realize, like, yes, Jesus answers all the questions. Beyond any sports or music that I might feel passionate about, there comes a point in the Christ-following journey where I experience Jesus and I'm just like, yes, okay, I found it. This makes sense. This clicks with me. This fills the missing piece. Remember this series, Show and Tell, we're talking about what it means to show and tell others about who Jesus is, but maybe more importantly, I want us to get across why we do it. Why we want to show and tell others about who Jesus is. What motivates me to want to invite a friend to church? What motivates me to want to be kind to the jerk in my life? What motivates me to want to share my story with a neighbor? Okay? What are the motivating things in my life? Now, the action, sharing my faith, it stems from an understanding of how much Jesus has done for me. If you guys do not, if you come in this morning and you don't understand how much Jesus has done for you, this show and tell, I may tell you, hey, go share your faith with your friends. And you're like, okay, but I'm probably going to walk out of here and not do it. Because you don't have that internal motivation of what wires you, of what makes sense. It's the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, the fact that it's true, the truth that I get to spend eternity with God forever. Those truths, they motivate me to say, yes, I have to tell someone about this. Few examples of this idea of me understanding who I am in Jesus, of me understanding what Jesus has done for me, compelling me to go and share the good news of Jesus. Few stories in the Bible are as powerful as the one I want to read today in Acts 2. And that's where we're going to be this morning. Acts 2, 42 is where we're going to start. And I want to give a little context to this passage, okay? This is the church in Acts. This is a famous church. This is like the first church that we see in the Bible. They've just heard about Jesus for the very first time, like the real gospel story. Peter, one of the disciples who was with Jesus, he's just stood in front of thousands of people and told them about Jesus. Hey, remember that Jesus that was around that you killed? Yeah, I want to talk about him real quick. And he tells them, hey, that Jesus that you killed or you thought you did, he rose from the dead. And that he is truly the Son of God. And all of the prophecies and all of the scriptures, all of the things that you read as little kids, hey, guess what? Those are true and they came true in Jesus. Well, it says right before our story today, when the church heard that, when the church heard for the first time that Jesus had risen from the dead, that Jesus was the promised Messiah that they had read about as kids, something pierced their hearts. Something struck them in a way that had never struck them before. Kind of like maybe for some of you, when you picked up a sport for the first time, or you picked up an instrument for the first time, that it just kind of clicked with you. All right, this is a whole different kind of level for these people. Something clicked big time with them that they're like, oh my goodness, I finally understand. I finally get it. And when they finally got it, they asked this question to Peter, what do we do? What do we do? Hey, guys up in the corner, I need us to focus, okay? All right. What do we do? And Peter was like, hey, here's what you do. You need to repent and you need to be baptized, or in other words, you need to turn away from the life you've been living up until this point, and you need to follow and you need to believe in who Jesus says he was. And if you do, you will receive salvation. And you know what they did? You know what the people, the church, heard and they did with this? 3,000 of them said yes to Jesus that day. All right, just imagine with me your schools. That's like Normal West and Normal Community, everyone in those schools saying yes to Jesus. That's like, take Bloomington and U High and Central Catholic and all of those schools and put them together, and they all say yes to Jesus. It's crazy how many people in the moment, for the first time that something clicked with them, the first time they hear the good news of Jesus, that they say yes and they give their life to him. You see, life changes when we hear for the first time about this idea that there is a God who would send his son to die for me and rescue me from death forever, give me life forever. It's as if the thing in this passage that everyone was looking for, that everyone was wondering, where's this Messiah? What was this thing I've been reading about as a kid? What is this missing piece in my life? Whether they know it or not, is found in a gospel story. Here's my thing for you guys. Here's why I believe Jesus is the best way. He is the only way. He is the best way. Because here's the thing. Anyone looking to be accepted, anyone looking for help, anyone looking for a purpose, anyone looking for meaning, anyone looking for just something good in life, all of that is found in Jesus. And some of you may be like, well, okay, like you say it's Jesus, but why would Jesus be the only answer to that? How can you know that? There's tons of different beliefs out there. There's tons of ways that people find answers to their biggest questions, or at least they think they do. Why would you say Jesus is the only answer to the missing thing in my life? Why would you say Jesus is the only answer to me wanting to be accepted and loved and helped and find something good? Here's what I've found in my life, and here's what I've seen in the lives of others that have been touched by Jesus along the way. When you find out that the things in your life that you were told were true, but actually weren't true, that changes your life. But it also happens in the other way, that when you find out the things in your life that you told were true, that actually you come to realize, yes, they are true, again, your life changes. I remember, I hope I don't spoil anything in here. There's not any young kids. I remember the day where I found out Santa Claus wasn't real. I was livid. It's weird. I remember like the exact moment. I was in the backseat of my minivan, and my mom was driving, and I was asking all these questions about Santa, and she couldn't keep up with them. And so she just came out and said, okay, I just got to break it to you. He's not real. And I blew up on my mom. Blew up. I said, is every part of my life a lie? Is nothing real? I was so mad. I was so mad, so upset. I started bawling. It was like the angry tears. Snot was coming. I don't know if any of you guys had that reaction. I had that reaction when I found out Santa wasn't real. My life changed in that moment. Everything I thought was real was not. But here's the thing, and I want to take this in a more serious way. People find out all the time about things in their life that they were told were true, that they were told would help, and then they find out down the road that isn't true, that won't help. Things like the world saying, or someone in your life saying, hey, drugs will make you feel better. People in your life saying, hey, sex will make you feel loved. If you don't feel loved, just have sex. Stuff like, hey, watching YouTube for hours on end, that'll help you forget about those dark thoughts and those dark feelings. Just sit in front of a TV, watch Netflix, watch YouTube. People will say, hey, God isn't real, so you can just find peace and you can just relax in the fact that you don't believe in that and you don't have to follow that. Or some might say, hey, God might be real, but you don't have to follow him every day. That's just what the church tells you. That's just what the Bible says. Just live your life and you'll be happy. We hear those things from the world. And you try those things for a while, but you hit this point eventually where you go, wait a minute, that wasn't true. What I was told there wasn't true, or what I thought would happen there wasn't true. That didn't help my situation. It's different when you find what is actually true. I don't think radical life change happens, real joy, peace, hope happens based on a lie, because lies won't sustain. So if you guys are going to live your life and you're going to listen to maybe what someone says and the world says about how you should live that isn't how Jesus says you should live, eventually you're going to come to a point where you're basing your life on a lie and it's all going to break down. Which is why you can trust that when you encounter Jesus, that life change that happens in your life, it's permanent because it's true. It doesn't change because it's true. And why in this story today, I want to read what radical life change happens when they find out what's true, when they find out what actually happened. Acts 2, 42 through 47, I want to see the reaction of this church here. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says, all the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. For the first time, the church found out Jesus rose from the dead. This is the first time they heard it, which meant heaven was now attainable for them. They could go to heaven. They found out now their sin was covered. They found out now they could receive the Holy Spirit. They found out now what God had been saying from the very beginning was true. Their life wasn't based on a lie with this. This was true. So it makes sense why all of a sudden they started doing crazy things like sharing every single thing that they had, selling their property, selling their possessions, just giving away money, worshiping every day with each other, sharing meals with one another. It makes sense why they would go about, because if this is true, then that changes how I live. If I believe this is true, if I realize this is true, that changes what I do with my life. And some of you may be like, man, that's crazy, but the church doesn't really act like that anymore. I wish the church was like that. This is a cool picture of what church is like, but I wouldn't really say it isn't. Let's just think about Eastview Students High School for a second. Let's think about our high school ministry, how our ministry functions as a church. It's full of students that believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I would say for the most part, most of you in here would say, yes, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe he is the Son of God, and I believe I have a promise in heaven forever. Well, here's the thing. You guys share a lot of life together. You have small groups. You go to different events together. You open up your homes to your friends. You hang out all the time. There's a lot of squads in here. You guys do a lot of life together. Well, two, selling possessions, a lot of you guys give to the church. A lot of you guys are generous with your money, and if not money, you're generous with your time by serving down in ECU Kids or with the special needs or wherever in the church you serve. Worshiping every day. You guys are here on Sundays, you're there on Wednesday nights, and I think a lot of us are doing a lot better with trying to follow Jesus every day. and sharing meals together. I know all of you go and eat together. I know there's like a group of you guys that goes to like Meatheads after Sunday every week, right? We do all of these things together because it's a place where people have been changed by the fact that we know this is true. Can we be better at this? Yes, I think so. Of course we can. I think a lot of us can share a lot more life together because I think for a lot of us, we tend to, I want to keep my life to myself. I don't really want to tell other people about it. I think when you understand what Jesus has done for you, that compels you to want to share more of your life. All right? But we can also get better at being more generous with my time, with my money, with my stuff. Because again, guys, this does not happen unless we understand that if this is true, if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that changes how you act. That changes what you do. For the church, it changed every part of who they are. But I don't want to miss the most important part of this series, the part that we're really getting at here. What does it mean to show and tell? How are we going to show and tell others about Jesus? How do we look like this? How do we take this faith that I believe in? How do I take what I believe is true? And how do I take it into my non-Christian secular world? How do I take it to my school? How do I take it to my home? How do I take it to my neighborhood? How do I show and tell about Jesus? Here's why we're looking at this passage in Acts here. Why it's so important to live out our faith in a public and bold way, because we're going to see here the biggest reason and the biggest way that this church in Acts show and tell. How they show and told everyone about Jesus. If you look at the end in verse 46, here's the blueprint for you guys. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And that's what I want you to hit there. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. Enjoying the goodwill of all people. Why do I keep repeating that line? Here's the biggest example of this in this story, how to show and tell others about Jesus. Here's your tip for the day. The church's biggest witness in this story, the biggest strength that they had, the biggest tool that they had was the fact that they had favor with all the people. The whole community, whether Christian or not, they looked at this church and said, you know what, I like them. They're generous. They do life together. I like them. And it seems like we've lost this piece of powerful witness. You read in social media, you read on the news, you read in you hear in conversations, hey, the church is judgmental. The church is corrupt. The church is full of hypocrites. The church is a bunch of crazies. The church is a bunch of haters. You hear these things, and the church doesn't seem to have this reputation anymore. The church doesn't seem to have favor with all people. People aren't looking at the church anymore and going, oh, I like them. You probably hear more like, Eastview, I don't like them. And so, what does that mean? Now, some of it is because culture is becoming more and more secular, farther and farther away from God. And so, of course, they're going to attack anything that's close to God because they're getting farther away from God. But I also wonder if we have forgotten as the church what our most powerful witness is. And that's living in this way, being generous, giving to the needy, caring for people on the outside. I mean, really caring for them. Because here's the thing, this idea that they were sharing everything, that they were just giving away money, that they were selling their possessions, that is so different from their culture. That is so different. And it's interesting because the more different they became from culture, the more that culture and people around them liked them. Which seems ironic, doesn't it? You would think that if I'm becoming more and more different from the world, then the world will hate me more. But actually, the world starts to look at that and goes, ah, that seems better. I like that. That seems better. And I want to just stress the importance and It's kind of the support to why you'd want to live this way, why you want to live different than everyone else, is because God would not have told us how to live if it meant no one would want to live that way. God would not have given us the Bible and said, hey, live this way, if people would look at that and say, I don't want to live like that. No, God had a plan that if you follow this, if you live like this, people will look at you and they'll say, I want to live like that. I want that. And I wonder how many of you guys would find favor, how many of you guys would have friends or circles around you that would look at you and say, I like the way they live. If you chose to be more obedient to what God says, if you chose to live how he told you to live, that's what I believe show and tell means for our high school ministry. It means, here's your blueprint, it means living like this church in Acts, being really generous with people, maybe inviting a friend to go to lunch with you and buying their food, maybe helping, like, if you get to know someone's story and you realize, they need this, maybe I could buy this for them. Living generously, living together in community. These are the things. Our job is for our high school friends, schools, to look at Eastview High School Ministry, look at what we're doing and say, you know what? I like them. I like Eastview High School. That's a cool place. They're doing really cool things. They care about me and they care about my community. So today, we're going to do a specific application with this. Last week, if you guys remember, we had those little cards, right? Those little tags, those key tags that you wrote your one down on. And you wrote that one person that you're like, yeah, I want this person to come to know Jesus, or I want to be praying for this person. I want to eventually invite this person to church with me. And you took those tags and you wrote a name down. We said, choose your one. Well, today we're going to challenge you to do something else with your one. Hopefully you still have that key tag and you've been praying over it and you've been thinking about that person, but we want you to do something this next week that's going to challenge you maybe a little bit of a step further, but we're also going to give you some incentive to do it. As you guys go, we're going to hand out some free Dairy Queen Blizzard coupons, okay? Now, that's not for you just to go and get yourself a free ice cream. Just be like, ha, joke's on you, right? What we want you to do is we want you to invite your one to go get ice cream with you, okay? And here's the thing. I don't want you guys to freak out. I'm like, you're, like, this is it. I have to tell, like, about Jesus. I have to tell the gospel story. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to invite them, say, hey, I've got a coupon for free Blizzard. Let's go get ice cream. And I just want you to sit, and I just want you to get to know their story. I want you to ask good questions. I just want you to hear about their life. What's going well? What's not going well? How can I be a good friend to you? And just sit down and enjoy some ice cream. All right, so for some of you, that's really scary. The very idea of talking to this person you wrote down and asking about their story is scary. For some of you, you're like, sweet, free ice cream with a friend, easy. Whatever the feeling is in here, I want us to remember the motivation that if you believe that Jesus really did raise from the dead, if you believe that Jesus, when he touches your life, really does change you, that he really does an incredible work in you, that your life is never the same, then I think it's worth going and getting ice cream with someone for the chance that they might come to understand that Jesus has risen from the dead and that they can have eternity in heaven forever with him too. So I want to move past the fear a little bit of them potentially asking me about God and asking me a hard question. Because if there's a chance that this one in my life can come to understand who Jesus is, that their life can be changed forever, that they can find peace, that they can find joy, that they can find hope, that all the things and all the messiness that happens in the world, that's not their story, that doesn't have to be, then I'm going to take that step. All right, and here's the thing. I don't want you to put a bunch of pressure on this. Just invite them to ice cream. If they say no, okay. But just invite them and just go and sit and just ask them about their story. Ask them about their life and just see what happens with that conversation. Because you'll find that when you show you really care, you'll start to find favor, like the story in the church, and they'll say, you know what, I like them. What are they about? And then that'll open up more opportunities. So right now, we're going to sing, and we're going to worship, and we're going to praise this God that we believe rose from the dead. But for the rest of the service, I just want you to pray in your head and in your thought. I just want you to think, how could this one come to know this truth like I know it? Because here's the thing, I would do some pretty crazy things so that one person might come to know the saving grace of Jesus. Let me pray. God, this morning, I pray that we would take another step in living boldly for you, that we would show the love of Jesus through conversation, through learning stories. And God, as we think about our one, I'm thinking about all of the names right now that are being thought of. God, I pray over all of them. I pray over this week and those conversations that, God, you would stir something in that more students in this community, that more high school students would come to know that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and you rose from the dead, and you can change lives. So God, I pray for boldness, I pray for strength, I pray for the Holy Spirit to move in the lives of our students as we go this week, and we love others well, and we find favor with our friends, with our neighbors, with our families. And God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.